Blog Talk Radio.
Going into winter. Usually it's coming out of winter into spring.
Well, you know, George, I was looking up. I just pulled up the Spirit of Mott site that you sent me. It says how recent solar flares are affecting us, and it says exactly what a solar flare and how does it affect us. And unusually so, it says a solar flare is a magnetic storm on the sun, which appears to be a very bright spot and gaseous surface eruption, such as the above photograph. Well, you know,
you can't see that.
But it says the highly particulars and gases are tremendously hot. They eject thousands of miles from the surface of the sun. But this says that
one of the best known prophecies or predictions of our Mayan elders is the message of a changing paradigm of our era. In the words of the Maya, it is said that we are now in the time of change and conflict. The change is coming from the outside in the way of the weather and natural phenomena, celestial disturbance, like sun flares, and man-made self-inflicted trauma. The conflict comes from the inside in the way of personal challenge, grief, bewilderment, depression, anxiety, and fear. It is said we are at the crossroads. A time of choosing a new path, deciding on a new self in a community direction, venturing to the unknown, finding our true identity of being. Others will choose to stay on the same road, stay with the familiar, and place great effort to maintain predictability. A recent study published in The New Scientist indicates a direct connection between the sun's solar storms and human biological effects. The conduit which facilitates the changes, the charged particles from the sun to human disturbance, is the very same conduit which steers Earth's weather through the magnetic field on Earth and also through the magnetic fields around humans. The recent geomagnetic storms are causing Earth changing events in the way of earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, hurricanes, tornadoes, and wind storms.
That's amazing, huh, George?
Yeah.
That's what we're going through right now. They predicted this.
And even the Mayans are in there with that, too.
Yeah.
It says how it affects the biological, a human biological effect.
The human biology.
Yeah.
It's easy to understand if you understand that, you know, the moon tides and gravity affects the water levels.
But right, and men. And human beings, very often, you know, you heard the word lunatic.
Yes.
Or we're all 80% water, actually, so we have to be affected by the tides.
Yeah.
You know, by the sun and by the moon and so on. But, I don't know, I guess gravity keeps us here, but I'm not really sure. And this article goes on to say geometric activity on the sun influences our thoughts. Which I thought was bizarre, and not bizarre, but I thought it was interesting because, you know.
Well, very often when people don't feel well, when their barometric pressure changes,
yeah,
they all of a sudden don't feel well. So they
influence human consciousness. Solar flares affect the central nervous system and the stomach lining, all brain activity, including the equilibrium, along with human behavior, all the psychological. Physiological, mental, emotional, physical response. And they cause us to be nervous, anxious, worried, jittery, dizzy, shaky, irritable, lethargic, exhausted, forgetful, and have heart palpitations, even nauseous and queasy. And last but not least, we have prolonged head pressure and headaches. And it says, have you been experiencing any of the above lately?
Well,
I guess we've all experienced some of that stuff somewhere.
Well, you know, listen for a minute. People are affected by the barometric pressure even.
Sure they are.
You know, so whatever happens in the universe affects us.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why people think we live in isolation. We just don't.
Of course we don't. No, everything is part of nature, or part of nature, and it just moves with tides and moves with the flow of everything. But,
well, can you say cosmobiology, astrology? What is astrology? It's the movements of energies and magnetism and how people are affected by it from an emotional level. Because, you know, that that emotional aspect of us is the water within our body, and that's part of the physical body. So that's affected, you know, not only by the gravity of the moon and the sun, but also of our emotions, how we release our emotions, how we release our just energy. And it's either through, you know, our body, or it's through our mind. And that's the mental, emotional trauma that we go through. But the body is the first one that reacts to it, and it's the first one that feels the effects of an emotional band or emotional impulse coming from electromagnetic. So, you know, in watching some things come into the earth or things that are happening, what's the effects people have before the effects, let's say, of an earthquake. And, you know, they've been studying animals for years. Watch your animals, and, you know, they'll show you, they'll tell you that something is coming and when it's coming. And, the Chinese have been using this for thousands of years. Follow the animals.
Yeah. What about you, George? Have you experienced any difference in your physical presence? I mean, have you experienced any symptoms that you're aware of?
What do you mean?
Well, the effects of the recent solar flares. Have you noticed?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I've been watching my emotions, and it has been up and down. You know, there's so much going on in the world now. I mean, I've been following the earthquakes, and, you know, we could talk about that in a bit, but, you know, there is something going on with the geology of the earth, and we're experiencing that. But, you know, I'm also affected by the movement here, just like I was affected by that quake down in Virginia. But
how
I was
so?
Also emotionally I was affected. Nervous, and I felt it's like something's coming. I don't know, but yet once it happened, it released some of the pressure. It's like I knew something was coming. I didn't know what it was, and I wasn't going to start playing parlor games and predicting this and that. But, you know, it's like a giant call or a voice, a subconscious voice yelling or saying something. But everybody can listen to it on the undertone. And what I'm feeling is, you know, caution or watch out and to be on my toes. And, I mean, years ago I used to live, fear is good because it kept me on my toes, but that's not true. I don't believe that anymore. But I just take notice when I start standing up on my toes for some reason and not sleeping well. And it's not only me, but also people around me. You know, some of these weather patterns, we've had some wicked storms up here, and not only with the rain and the flooding, but also with the wind. I had three trees on my property came down, and there was a tornado that set down less than 40 miles from my house. And these are not normal weather patterns. And, in fact, that hurricane that came up, Lee, I believe, was the last one.
That came up,
Lila, and right in Cairo, New York, is when she turned. And Cairo,
oh, really?
New York, is where our friend Preston Nichols lives with his with his electronic equipment. I'm just bringing that up. I think it's funny. I think it's funny because that they experienced 10 inches of rain in a couple hours, I think it was, and that is a hell of a lot of water at one time.
Can we blame that on
turning it away, probably.
Right, well, it came up the Hudson River, and then it veered to the east right around that point. I mean, the power of the storm. And, you know, we were all hammered by that. And it was just funny. The pattern ran.
Remember that Preston said that there's a huge pyramid under that area with strong electromagnetics.
Yeah, he's been using those to affect as much as he can. I'm sure. That's right. He didn't want to get flooded out, so he probably had his machine going all day, you know, 24 hours a day for a week, you know.
Well.
Just to get it the hell out of there, and it probably worked. But you know,
not,
I was just looking at this article again, and I wanted to say, George, because it says an interesting fact about this energy that's coming in at us is that since it is of a higher frequency, it creates the power of instant manifestation of our thoughts, which means whatever we think, we create instantly. This never happened in our lifetime, and that is why many people are writing books on the subject of the power of attraction.
Right.
But he says photonic energy.
Oh, photonic.
Connects
photonic
to our
energy?
Photonic.
No, photonic.
Photonic energy.
Okay.
Connects to our, so that it's important that we know what we want rather than what we don't want. Otherwise, we will manifest more of what we don't want. If you are in the process of change and transformation, this energy works well for you. On the other hand, if you are stuck in the past through victimization, anger, you will simply manifest more reasons to remain stuck in victimization until you are ready to release it.
Yeah.
It says,
yeah.
And I thought this was really interesting. It says, ancient texts, including the Bible, tell us to look to the skies as they would create the catalyst that would bring about change on Earth at this time. And I thought, you know, you had mentioned before, and I thought this might be a good way to segue into that topic, is that the sun, you said before on other shows that the sun is a portal,
a
gateway, you know, to another either dimension or another universe or whatever. And maybe you could elaborate on that a little bit, because with so much activity happening to the sun and so much happening now, drawing us to the sun and understanding the sun, what is the and the sun insisting that we pay attention to it, you know? What do you think is happening there, George? What do you think? Do you think that portal is beginning to open, or what? You know, for us to move into that fourth dimensional ascension, or what?
All right. Well, let me just slow it down a bit. And I've said over the years that I believe the sun is a portal, and it's like a wormhole. It's like a dark hole, a black hole, where, you know, we see it as light, but actually it draws our energy into it. And with that energy, you can teleport to any place connected with that. Now, I don't know the exact science behind this, but the ancients talked about, you know, the sun not being hot, but it being it has energy, a lot of energy, a lot of light. And some of the old religions point to cultures that use this portal, the sun, to go in and out of planetary systems. Like the Syrians from Sirius use our sun, which connects to their sun. We really, that is our sister sun in this galactic Milky Way that we live in. We rotate with Sirius, the sun Sirius, in our Milky Way, in our spiral. But we also spiral around one another, and we spiral and form the same spiral as in the DNA. So, for us, that is our sister star. And the ancients were supposed to go through our sun and end up coming through the Sirius sun. It's like I said, a portal that's used, a wormhole, from one level to another level. Now, you know, it's understanding energy and this dimensional reality, it does, in the three dimension, you know, it does look hot and it does look like light. But if you pump it up another level, let's say with gamma rays and so forth, you won't see light, you'll see blackness. But there's energy there, but you don't see it for in this perspective that you're locked into. So, you know, it's believed that it's used as a portal. Now, with the abnormality that's been going on, we go through these 11-year cycles, whatever it is, and the moon goes through, or the sun goes through these different activities. Now, I'm not really a specialist when it comes to that, but there's a high peak and a low peak, and right now, the high peak of this series of sun peaks is this year and next year. So the heightness of these peak disturbances. So I don't know. I'm sure there's people out there in the audience that may have some knowledge of this and they could talk about it. You can call in, but I'm not an expert with it. But you know, it sounds right to me, and you know, I could see that a dark star, a black hole, is basically the gravity wave that we are locked into in this three-dimensional reality. And if you take a look at some of the pictures that we have from the Hubble telescope, we have pictures of galaxies. And you can see, like, looking at it from a side view, and it's like a water drain where water from one end of it is spiraling down and forming something. And it just gives me an idea that even though, you know, there's a gravity wave, we're caught into it, we're locked into a black hole, if you'd want to call it that. We come out the other side, there's a new universe. And that's the universe where we actually lift to a higher dimensional reality or a higher perspective in our spectrum of light that we're adapting to or we're connecting to. I don't know any other way to answer that question, Leo, other than I do believe that maybe the understanding of that is coming to the fore right now. And I think NASA and our science physicists have a different understanding of science in the last 5 years, and in the last 20 years it made a drastic change in what we learned, that we don't know everything, and some of the knowledge that we have learned about. We talked about the Merkaba, the energy field around all things, and understanding that this Merkaba plays a large part in power and also the world around us. And by controlling that, you know, we can controlling the energy of the Merkaba, or by affecting the Merkaba, we can affect quakes, we can affect weather patterns, and right now we are in a situation Leo?
Yeah, we're right here.
I could just rattle on here, but do you want to talk about dimensional shifts tonight?
Absolutely. I mean, we're already there, but I mean, we're already, it's a good segue right into what we were talking about, but.
It's funny, when you were talking about the Hubble telescope and you were talking about NASA and things like that, what just occurred to me, which I think is kind of an odd thing, or maybe it isn't, why all of a sudden, and this is a political thing, why all of a sudden we don't have any more funding for NASA, just at a time when there's so many things that we know now and so many things we could be doing. That are imminent, and the funding has stopped. It seems like an odd time to dry up the funding when we're so close to the universe and so close to other planets than we have.
But I think that's only, if I can interject, the only reason I feel that they're doing that is because we are making discoveries, and anything more would bring man, the humanity's imagination, above and beyond the fourth dimensional reality, the third dimensional reality that they're existing in. And the whole concept of government
is to keep us
here. And to keep us enslaved, and to keep us not thinking, all right, and not imagining, and not hoping.
They wouldn't have enough worker bees.
Yeah, and, you know, they wouldn't have anybody to be in power of, because we would have our own power, and you know, which once we get into fourth dimension, you know, we don't need these damn things. We don't need this government.
We don't need Democrats and Republicans.
We don't need anybody. You know, we're just in a perfect society, okay, that rejects.
I don't know whether it's reject, perfect society.
No, if as we move along, we'll reject, you know, oppression, we'll reject government, we'll reject rules, we'll reject anything that allows us not to be free. So it's like anything that's immoral, or, you know, it's just part of our evolutionary progression.
Well, but, you could say that, Leo, but you have to take a look at it's all an illusion. And I'll tell you why. Even though NASA, you know, they don't share the goody information that we should have.
Yeah.
But you see, years ago, NASA was taken over by the Department of Energy. Well, let me put it this way. It was a private research grouping.
Yeah.
And then it was taken over by the Department of, it attached itself to the Department of Energy. And then the Department of Defense took it over and funded it. So there's no longer private funding for NASA. The information goes to the military. So that's where the information has gone to.
Yeah.
So let's bypass that illusion that is still being kept alive, which has been dead for the last 12 years. And I'm just telling, I've been following NASA for years, you know, with its movement, along with the government, and how a lot of these private institutions have taken over, you know, contracts with the government. It's just like the prisons being taken over by private corporations, you know, running them for a profit, like the Postal Department, you know what I mean? It's no longer part of the government, a branch of the government that's run by a private corporation.
Well, let me just say, there's something here that I think it doesn't have to do with NASA, but it has to do with the effects that we're having now, and why they would not want us to have this, why they would not want us to think about it, and also. Not to mention, you're not seeing a whole lot of information coming out about the solar flares and all of this kind of stuff.
And how they may be affecting emergency rooms and hospitals.
Everywhere.
It'd be interesting to get the data from that.
But it says the solar flares and the proton waves are changing the fabric of our physical reality, as they are a powerful effect on our physical cellular level and causing our cellular memories to awaken and clear. Now, that's amazing what he says there. And he says, we often experience this as the body heating up in the form of hot flashes. Our our low frequency energy stored in our cells from past experiences and traumas that we have encountered and never processed. So they become stored as cellular memories.
Mm-hmm.
And he says photon energy is a much higher frequency energy that pulls up the lower emotional frequency so it can calibrate to the higher frequency.
Yeah.
We thus find ourselves releasing these lower emotions of sadness and grief without knowing why. And these spells will last for about 20 minutes, and we will left wondering where these feelings came from out of the blue. But he says the elements of our blueprint are interfaced with the cellular consciousness. And when the blueprint is amplified through photon energies, various elements of the blueprint leak into our consciousness, and we begin to remember our soul's purpose.
Yeah,
and we are
pulled
changes in our life, but we don't really realize why.
Uh-huh.
And that to me, makes a whole lot of sense, only because we are in a process of changing right now. And we're going much higher. We're creating a much higher frequency. There's no doubt in my mind about that. Lila, and I think we're seeing it everywhere. We're seeing people rising. You see people are getting confused, and they're getting they're having all of these symptoms that they're talking about. And as these emotions rise, so do revolutions. Okay, so do these crazy things we're seeing, where people are going out and shooting everybody, and people with mental defects are even more under greater stress, and you're going to see more and more craziness happen. But you know.
Well, Leo, let me just stop you for a second if I can.
Yeah, but I was just going to say, Zell Lungold mentioned that at this time, people would start to go crazy. Okay, the whole world would start to go mad, okay? And the only way that you can hold on is to stay in the zone, he said, to stay zoned, to stay in your zone. And he said that. And that's how to survive this period, right? But he predicted that this is the Mayans predicted that this is what was going to happen. Everybody was going to fall apart. The whole system, the whole government, everybody was going to everything was going to start going crazy, mad, right? And
do you want to say something, Lila?
No, I was just listening and thinking about it. I was trying to think about the people around me, how they're behaving, and I'm going to be more observant of that, I think, because I want to measure that in my own life and look into how I'm behaving. Be a little more self-observant. You know, that's what it's saying to me. I have to be more aware of what I'm thinking and what I'm doing to sort of,
and reflecting on the fact that why it's happening, and knowing that
am I affected by these solar flares, and in what way am I affected? So I'm going to be more vigilant observer, I think.
And also how the powers that be are trying to prevent you from feeling and from experiencing those things. They're drugging you and chemtrailing you and poisoning you in every possible way they can.
Physically, right? And mentally.
I mean, fluoridating your water, you name it. They got a plan to keep you suppressed, to keep you, under control.
A sheeple.
Let me look at this with a different perspective, if you would mind me to indulge myself.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
What you're saying is right. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. The world is going friggin' crazy sometimes, and right now it's going extra crazy very quick.
Extra crazy.
It's hell in a handbasket real quick. But let's look at what's happening to us. In the precession of the equinox, which we come around to this point every 26,000 years, the elders told us what we're experiencing right now, and we're going to be experiencing this for 1,000 years, is this proton belt that we come across. And like I said, this is part of the orbit that we make in the precession of the equinox in our circuit around our Milky Way.
Mm-hmm.
So understand that we are physically being affected by these protons, and it's activating genes within our DNA that aren't activated. And if you want to say genes to co-create, you can, because we do have genes within our body to create life, and even create life in our own life by changing and mutating our DNA. We have the ability as beings to do that. But also, let's understand that this procession or this cycle that we're on is that, you know, we're given a chance to experience the peak of this three-dimensional reality or a time slot. Now, I've talked about, I believe, 10,000 years ago, that the builders of the Great Pyramid and the knowledge thereof was obtained by Earthlings, people like you and I. And we experienced the peak of the knowledge that we had. And that was just one example. And then what happened is that we had a cataclysm with the Earth, with the magnetics of the Earth stopped, it rotated in the opposite direction, and actually just erased our hard drive, our Akashic records, in a sense. So we had to learn all over again real quick, but it wasn't something we learned. It was like a stress-step evolution that we just remembered where we came from, the knowledge that we have. So I'm just saying right now, what we're experiencing is the knowledge that we once had, and that is direct evidence within our DNA, which is a witness, just like the oldest known mammals on this earth, let's say the whales and the porpoise and the fish. They hold the record of the earth of all males. So it's tapping in and being part of the co-creation of the substance that we call God.
It would be interesting to find out what the whales and the other mammals remember on their cellular level.
You know,
the whales have a huge brain. Dolphins are very smart animals.
Yeah. Well, it's they say that the dolphins went came on land, and then they reverted back to the water again, and they use both their brains, their right and their left half, 100%, and in understanding the portal of the sun, it's the sun that dolphins normally travel back and forth from Sirius B, which is a planet around the second, it was the third planet around the second Sirius Sun. And that's where the dolphins go, back and forth, between Sirius B and the Earth. So they make this trip, I guess, in a couple hours, but it's using those portals, time portals, or those wormholes, and that's connected with the sun.
Why do they come back?
Well, I don't know. Because maybe they're able to not only experience one three dimensional reality, but they have the ability to to go to other places at the same time. They're not locked to the Earth. I mean, they could travel outside our solar system.
And you know what, George?
What's wrong with that?
I'm beginning to understand something that, I remember reading before, and years before, actually. But they say that sleep is going into the fourth dimension. You're actually living within the fourth dimension when you sleep. Now, is there no difference than, if the dolphin can transport itself between dimensions, okay?
Its consciousness maybe goes, but it says its body stays here. I don't know.
Perhaps.
Is that what happens, George? I don't know exactly.
Or they can move. Maybe they can transcend move their bodies as well.
Yeah.
But it's like, what would they do there? Would they still be swimming? Would they be in a mammalian form, or would they be in? Well, dolphins are mammalian, but would they
physical form go with them, or would they not?
Or would not? I mean, would they be in spirit form?
Well, they would probably be in both, but their three-dimensional form would be resonating with higher frequencies. And what that's saying is that, they look solid, but, they can actually move through walls, move through solid space. And the reason why they can do this is because their molecular breakup is there's a lot more space in between the different atoms than, let's say, your body is from the wall, so they can pass right through it without affecting it. So, you know, it's actually the resonating frequency of, you know, whatever you're attached to. And you know, it has its own level or its own frequency that it vibrates with.
That's what it was saying in this article was, by Dunbelow, basically that, where is it? Whatever the frequency, I was just trying to see where the photo energy is much higher frequency energy that pulls up the lower emotional frequency so that it can calibrate to the higher frequency.
Yeah.
And thus we find ourselves releasing these lower emotions of sadness and so on and so forth. But once we grab on to an idea, once we envision a concept, then we gravitate to that concept. Okay, we bring it to us.
Right. Yes. Uh-huh.
We bring it to us. The only difference, the only problem with that is there's a period of time and space. Okay. That it takes some time and space for it to come to us. But in that fourth dimensional or fifth dimensional reality that we're destined to transcend to, it becomes that time space becomes irrelevant. It's instantaneous. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah.
It's like in a dream. Like you can dream. You know, when you sleep, all of a sudden these things come to you, and you know. People and places and things and whatever come to you immediately. I mean, you're there. You know, there's no.
You're not getting on a train and traveling to Paris.
No.
You're in Paris.
You're already in Paris, right?
Right.
You're already wherever you are, and that's what that fourth dimensional state is, in which the Aborigines stated with a dream was the dream state, or the indigenous American Indians also believe that. But the Aborigines believed that they lived within the dream state.
That was their life.
And you know, they could recall anything, and all the knowledge of the universe was out there, was available to them. You know. So I guess that's where we're headed, George, or that's where we already are. We just don't realize that.
Well, here's a question.
Here's a question
for you, Leo. You're talking, and George, you're talking about the Aborigines, right? Who value the dream state.
Right.
Right? But they remain very primitive in their physical state here.
Yes.
They never spent any time developing anything. They didn't even have houses. They were nomadic people.
Right.
They didn't need to.
Clothes, they didn't.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. So you wonder what. I'm sorry, what?
They didn't need to.
No, they didn't.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
The climate and the surroundings didn't require it. So, you know, so they could develop instead of like being here in the Northeast where you know.
If you didn't have any clothes, it'd be damn cold.
Or shelter or whatever.
Or shelter or something.
Yeah, you'd be in a pretty tough situation.
I mean, you could roam to the town, but you wouldn't find any food.
Yeah. So there, you know, if you're in the same climate, you know, 24 hours a day.
Well, a good point is that adversity is the mother of invention.
Right,
really?
So that you know, so that you could actually wander within that, you know, you could, I mean, your life is so simple, actually, in a third dimensional reality, that, you know, you can wander and go further into the shamanic or extra dimensional existences, because you have time to think about it, and you're not worried about unless you get attacked by a kangaroo or something, but you know, you still got to eat and so on and so forth. But these things are plentiful, and this way of life suited them, all right. And so it just happened.
Well, they didn't need anything else.
No, And they spent much more time within that realm of understanding and the realm of the dream world, and they had medicine men and shaman that...
I don't even know if they had a written language.
They don't have a written language. In fact, their music is all song. Their language is stories, is music, or is stories, is singing.
Music, oral, yeah.
I want to jump back for a minute, if I can, in dealing with this four dimensions. Now, we are going into the fourth dimension, yes, but understand, the fourth dimension that we will be experiencing is the same fourth dimension that we talked about, let's say, in 2008, where we went into the polarity of consciousness, the good aspects and the bad aspects, the day and the night. Now, understand that we do live in the fourth dimension, and that is in our dream state, when we sleep. Now, understand that in that state, that we can actually manifest an illusion, good or bad. So understand that some of these people who are alien abducted, some of these aliens live on a fourth dimensional level where they can come back from a fourth to a third to a fourth. And like, I think some of the draconian aliens are connected with them, and some of the Illuminati are connected to these people. But understand that they work not only in the third dimension, physical dimension, but also in the fourth dimension dealing with evil. And they have the good and bad aspects of the polarity of reality change. Now, once we rise above this duality in our emotions or in our emotional state, we will leave this duality of consciousness where you would have to decipher between a good dream and a bad dream. And, understand that with this co-creation we're going into, that is the first challenge that we're going to experience, because we're going to manifest anything. And, you know, you got to watch what you think because you will manifest it. Watch what you dream for, I should say. And that is the next phase of where the Mayans are going from October, where the calendar is going, from October 28th of this year until December 21st, 2012.
All right. So my thought is, you know, where... I was just going to ask, 631, would you like to come into this at all, or this discussion?
He's just listening, I think.
Okay.
He could always come in if he wanted to.
All right. I'm sorry.
What'd you say? Work? That's all.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, the concept of us transcending is one that creates so many variables. It has so many variables. I mean, especially when you think about the fourth dimension being a place where everything that you imagine comes to reality immediately, okay?
So you better have good thoughts.
So you have to have really good thoughts, but unfortunately, you don't always have great thoughts. But, you have to deal with that. So, that transitional period of the fourth dimension is one that actually we're kind of experiencing now, all right? And if this solar thing happens and this transition happens within the next couple of months, say by October 28th, the way the Mayans predict, then we'll already be there. I mean,
I think you probably have 1 foot there already.
I believe we do. I honestly believe that we do. And we've talked about this many times, George, but I believe that we are flirting in and out of the fourth dimension constantly. Right?
Without a doubt, yeah.
Constantly.
But I noticed that, you know, in my own life, I mean, you know, it's like I'm in a walking dream in a sense where, sometimes I don't know if I'm dreaming or if it's just a real thing or if it's something that I'm experiencing, something I dreamed. And, you know, it's hard to explain, but it's like I'm walking a dream. But I'm walking a waking dream, I should say. So.
Yeah, it's so strange, you know. And it's kind of like, it's like the hurricane, when the hurricane happened.
Yeah.
It's like we were expecting to be hit by it here. And at the same time, we didn't want it to hit here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We didn't want it. And it didn't happen. It didn't come by us. It the eye of the storm actually passed over us, which was amazing. Right? So we got some rain, but we didn't get any great wind and we didn't get any great flooding in this area. And it was remarkable. So, but I'm thinking that either I myself imagined it, Lila imagined it.
Believe what you're asking for, you know. I want it to be a nice day out, you know, or I don't know, whatever you think.
What I'm saying is, George,
a lot of people were thinking that.
A lot of people were thinking it, yeah.
Yeah.
But you have a collective thought,
right?
All right? Same thought, collectively, all right? Please, God, don't hit this area. Don't drown us out, you know? Then maybe we have the energy to change that, the course of that direction of that storm, if you will. All right.
Yeah.
And maybe, who knows, that collective thought happened.
But I'm sure there were plenty of other people that were thinking the same thing.
But maybe not collectively.
Maybe.
Maybe not in that collective concept. Where, you know, maybe you had 100 or 200 or 300 or an entire community with the same thought process and saying, please, hit here, you know? But you had other communities that say, oh, my God, it's going to hit here. We're getting hit. It's going to hit. No, it's going to, don't, you know, they're not saying don't hit here. They're saying it is. So
you don't need a lot of people to believe something or pray for something. Where two or more are, so am I.
That's right.
That's right, George.
You know, just two people or one individual attracting another, and two or three or four people can change the entire course of the world, you know?
There you go.
By creating that one thought, that one religion, that one philosophy, that one government, that one whatever it is. But, you know, that one car, you know, it just changes the entire outlook of humanity, you know.
So I believe in paying it forward.
Oh, yeah.
You believe in what?
I believe in paying it forward.
Explain what you mean by that, George.
Well, if I have something that I know somebody else would want, I'll give it to them.
With the hope that they pay it off, pass it onward as well.
That's right. You know, pass on a good deed to somebody else. You know, you wreck your car, boom, I'll give you another car. Have a good day. You know, but it's not waiting to have something happen. It's helping somebody before it happens. Or giving somebody a second break who lives in the ghetto and needs an extra $20 for a haircut and a bottle of booze and the courage to go in for a job. I mean, you know, it's you know,
right.
So what? Maybe, you know, he drinks a little bit, but, you know, if that's what it takes, pay it forward, and if it does good, he'll come back and you'll be rewarded. If not, then maybe this other guy will reward somebody else. And passing it on is worth a lot more than having him come back and play games with your head, because we have a way of doing that, and they call it the ego. But sometimes we forget our purposes here is to love one another And yet, do we all have a game or a part to play? If you're a cop or you're a doctor, you're a, you know, you're a subway sweeper, you know, you all have we all have a reason and a job here, and don't take it personally because you know it's going to be gone in a matter of a wink of an eye, in a matter of the spiritual life of a sentinel being, because we are spirits having a physical experience. That's all.
Yep.
We just got another call. I don't know if they'd like to come in and talk. 972. Would you like to join the conversation?
203-9493.
Well, I lost track of the conversation because I was online and I was on the wrong time zone. Hi, George. This is Rod down in Texas.
How you doing, Rod?
Yeah, I was trying to get you online a while ago. You guys was talking about what I was going to tell you, the distinction between creation and manifestation.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to explain that that's why the dolphins come back here. This is the only place where manifestation occurs.
Oh.
Creation is all the without, but manifestation occurs on the earth. That's the one thing that's unique about this place as opposed to the rest of the universe.
It
reminds me, Rod, of Star Trek, where every once in a while they used to go to a vacation planet, where they would go down on a planet automatically, you know, the reality of a vacation that they would want would be played out. I don't care if it's King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, you know, you're right, you know.
Remember, in many respects,
that's where we live for many people. There are some people that enjoy it exactly that way. The other thing I find interesting is what Leo was talking about the prayers on the storm.
Yeah.
And it seems kind of, to me, it seems interesting that the people in Vermont thought that they were afraid and they were praying for the people along the coast. And so their prayers were answered. But unfortunately, they forgot to pray for themselves because they thought they were safe.
That's
a good point.
Well, it's like in Texas, like you're having those horrible fires and a drought.
Poor people.
You know, where are those prayers? We've said, oh my God, those poor people down there, you know, can't there be something, you know?
I mean, they got a storm, but they didn't get one speck of water.
It's ironic that the hurricane bypassed Texas completely. It's also interesting to note that we had a Texas that cut the budget for firefighting in Texas.
you think Rick Perry would be using his little prayer services there to bring water, you know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. He cut the budget in Texas for all the firefighters in the rural areas this year by a considerable amount, or there would have been more people to fight the fires. But the weather here has been so... it's almost biblical, the heat that we've had here. Everything has turned to dust.
And what part of Texas are you in?
Well, I'm just outside Dallas.
Outside Dallas. And you've experienced that high heat all summer?
Oh, yeah, 67 days of 100 degrees plus and 90. I had someone out here today just trying to think about replacing his air conditioning system.
Wow. What would your typical summer heat be in a normal year?
Typically this time of year, it would be around 90, 95.
Okay.
But it was 105, almost normal during the day. And what was particularly bad, it wasn't dropping down at night. It was staying above 85 and 90, even through the night.
So you had no relief at all, huh?
Mm-mm. Well, I stayed indoors.
Most people must have stayed inside.
But I mean, how do you, you know, I've thought many times of projecting, thoughts to Texas. You know what I'm saying? Like, cooler thoughts. You know what I mean? Or rain on Texas. You know, and yet, I don't know. I don't know if that's why we were protected here from that devastation, because a lot of places in Connecticut where we are were devastated, and as well as New York State. were devastated by the floods.
Places around us.
And around us. But why we were spared, I have no idea, other than the fact that we, you know, probably collectively all said, you know, God, don't bring it here, because we have so many woods here. We have so many trees around this area that, you know, the thought of the heavy winds, you know, scare the hell out of you. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you knock
out. It's just the thought of losing all the beautiful trees that we have in this area.
Well, not just
awful.
That, but I mean the power and, the, you know, you're losing your power and then the power lines. And the, but there's so many, so much woodland here that, we, you know, you just, like, God, I hope it doesn't happen here. But look up in Vermont. I mean, Vermont's the same way, but they got clobbered. So I can't figure out what any collective thought processes do for people, but it would be great to be able to direct, you know, those processes to areas that need it, kind of like HAARP, you know.
Well, maybe they did. The insurance companies got clobbered in this storm, but the people didn't. And that's something to consider as well. The loss of life was minimal for a storm of this type.
That's
and
true.
Loss of life was minimal as it was expected to be much different. And yet financially, the storm is devastating, and it's just going to keep the pressure on these idiots who are trying to steal from us.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, that's true. So I don't know what the answer is, but yeah, but what you mentioned was it's virtually biblical, and the kind of catastrophes we've had in the last last year, you know, this last year. With all the floods, and all the fires, all the earthquakes, it's just amazing. But,
well, it's just, it's wonderful what's going on these days, because no matter what subject you pick, it leads to another subject of interest, and all of a sudden people who haven't been able to communicate at all with one another are able to talk about things that they couldn't talk about before.
You know,
and I've
right,
noticed that a lot.
That was
true.
The one thing I wanted to ask you. You know, with this drought that you've been experiencing here in Texas, has it brought people together? Just like, take a look at what you've heard, what's happened up in Vermont and so forth, but it's brought people together to help one another, and yet this is just one way of maybe some of the good that's coming out of this stuff, even though the Vermonters tried to refrain, you know, for the people on Long Island, but, you know, they got hammered themselves. So I'm just saying, do you see a difference Or has the people of Texas, has it done anything to them or united them in a sense?
What I see is not them coming together yet, but I see a bewilderment in people's eyes and words that they're wanting to know what's going on.
Right.
And they're willing to listen to whoever's willing to say something to them, as long as they don't get too radical about it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There seems to be just a little bit less preaching. A lot of saying thank you, Jesus, but a little less preaching and putting their faith in knowing what the plan is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're willing to understand that maybe they didn't quite understand the plan, and there seems to be a little flexibility, but the main thing that I see is bewilderment. People want to know what's going on, and they know that there's something going on. They sense something going on, but they haven't got a clue what it is, really.
Well, I think that leads into that what we were talking about, a geometric activity on the sun's influences of our thoughts, right? And this is from that Spirit of Mott, the Trenvolo thing. And he just says that what's happening now with these solar flares and with this crazy weather that it's creating all these crazy weather patterns, but it's also creating, affecting the central nervous system, you know, a brain activity, along with human behavior, it says, in all physiological, mental, emotional, and physical responses. It causes us to be nervous, anxious, worried, jittery, dizzy. He's got a whole list of things here, but he's saying that what's happening now and the bewilderment that people are in is caused by this, by this electromagnetic activity caused by the solar flares and solar activity. Do you agree with that or what?
Well, Drumvalo is sometimes he's a little bit above my head. I don't disagree with him ever, but sometimes I can't claim to understand him.
I really do enjoy what he says and agree with most of what I do understand. But I know that if I were to talk to some of the conservative fundamentalists down here, I'd have trouble getting them to listen very long to that.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Never mind. I have trouble listening to them.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, I do try to listen to them because what they say is trying to give me a way to communicate with them and for us to share thoughts because I'm sure they know some things that I need to know.
Yeah.
Like what?
Well, if I knew that, I wouldn't need to know.
You don't need to know.
You wouldn't need to listen to them if
right,
you knew
it's
that.
Like, you know, it's, sometimes it's like a refrigerator. It's like we know that we open the refrigerator, and we know that we close the refrigerator, all right?
Yep.
We know that as we open the refrigerator, it cools things off. As we close it, you know, it's over with. And that's all you got to know about a refrigerator, other than plugging, making sure you have it plugged in, you know? So,
well, that's one thing, or you could say it like Castaneda said, to know anything is to know everything. Otherwise, how do you know?
Did Ralph Nader say that?
Castaneda said that.
Nader said that, huh? Or,
he's a clever
fellow. I've met Nader many times, but he doesn't know everything either.
Well, that's what he said.
Did he be president now? But
I don't think he ever really wanted to be.
But, no, you know, I said Carlos Castaneda. I didn't say that Ralph Nader.
No, I said Nader. Nader, yeah.
No. I'd like to bring something up here. Now, with all the hoopla about the comets and Ellen coming in and causing a galactic rift here, what do you think, Rod, about this whole thing?
Well, I'm having fun keeping track of those emails you've been sending me, that's for sure.
Yeah, okay.
But ironically, coincidentally, there was something about that comet on Diane Sawyer's ABC broadcast last week, and I was really surprised to hear it.
Yeah.
It was about the existence of the comet. It wasn't about Planet X or anything like that or about the earthquakes.
Right.
But they did mention the comet and its approach.
Well, you know, I was telling Leo earlier in the week that in the 90s, you know, in understanding the Hopi prophecy, you know, I've had to keep an eye out for the twins and also for the purifier. And for years, I was following pictographs. And some of the pictographs came from out west, depicted a snail, and apparently the snail was telling the story about the purifier. We'll make a long story short. You know, in 95 and 96, there was two comets that came through, and I thought they were the twins that the Hopis were talking about, which heralded the purifier when he came in. And of course, it was two comets. And one had a double tail, and that's why they thought maybe this was part of a twin scenario. I think the comets that we have coming in right now, and I believe there's three of them. One is called Levy, the other one is called Honda, and another one is called Eileen.
Yeah.
Elaine. And
that's the one causing the earthquakes, right?
That's right. And, you know, I think it may have some validity to, you know, the effects that the Hopis talk about. But it just scares the hell out of me. Is this the real thing? And if that's it, you know, the consequences, you know, what? This could be a dark star, and it could just drag us with its gravity away from our area in the solar system.
Or even another collision like the one that created the Earth. But don't forget that all comets that come into our system come into our system in a reverse elliptical orbit. In other words, contrary to the natural orbits of the planets that are already here.
Yeah.
And they're naturally going to disturb all of the frequencies that are involved because they're opposing them.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I stay kind of neutral in a sense, where I don't want to predict this or that. But, you know, this looks pretty much on the money, and it goes in line, I think, with everything we're experiencing right now.
Well, I agree 100%, and it seems like all of the prophecies from all of the different traditions are coming together. I'm familiar with the Hopi, and I spent some time out there one summer with the Hopi, and I really wish I could know more, but I would really like to know what's going on between the traditionalists and the other Hopis right now, because I have a feeling they're coming together.
Well, we'll see what happens here. You know, it's not like I don't know anything, but I do feel everything. And what I'm feeling now is pretty significant. And, it's changing my life, and it's changing my thinking. It's been doing this for years now, but I think it's just changing things so damn quick. I don't know if it's me or if it's just an illusionary dream that I'm living that's changing things. And I'm just going with it.
Well, you're not alone.
Well, thank you, my friend. It's a little bit scary, but it's a lot of fun, too. And I do believe we are the ones that we've been waiting for, and we are living in the 12th hour.
Well, I don't know exactly what the 12th hour is, but I think I sense what you're saying, and I think you're right. I know that these are definitely the mystical times that everybody tried to warn us about. Unfortunately, the people that tried to warn us didn't really have that much information, so it doesn't look like what they described.
But
Yuri's been through this before, so I think he'll survive again.
What do you think, Lila?
I agree with you guys. I'm like you, George. I'm just going along for the ride. As I've said to you before, it's like a graduation. I see it as, you know, you're in elementary school, then you go to high school, then you go to college, and it just kind of happens, and that's what's going to happen to us.
Yeah.
And some people decide, well, they're not going to go on to college, so they only get a high school education. Well, maybe that's okay. That some people will stay in the third dimension and others will go on. That's all.
I think that's what the Mayans have said, but that's what the Hopis have said.
Nothing wrong with that.
The Hopis have said that people will be drawn to the blue planet.
That want to go.
Okay, and there'll be those that go, but there'll be others who will stay or will be drawn to the red planet. And their aspect of the red planet, I thought was the Earth, but it doesn't seem to be. It seems to be the other. But they were clear in their prophecy about those that will want to leave and leave, and those that will stay.
Well, everyone's description of perfection is not the same.
Yeah, right. And it's no different than if you go into the Christian rapture, I mean, you're basically looking at the same concept. I mean, people will eventually rise to another dimension. All right, they'll ascend to another universe or another, wherever they go. That's what we're hoping. I'm all for it. I got my rockets ready, man. I'm ready I had enough of this crap down here. Rain and storms and heat and pain and misery. Forget about it. Move on.
You're right, but understand, if people are going to move on, but take a look at what's going to be left for the world or the future after us. Understand, we are in a point right now where we have integrated another life form within our being. And what I'm talking about is actually incorporated silicone life. Now, silicone life, 70% of the Earth is made of silicone, but it's incorporating it. We are liquid crystals in a sense. So what I'm saying is if you take a look at our technology and our consciousness, we have actually tapped into crystals, and we are integrating our lives with crystals, not only, you know, in our computers and the world around us, but also we've integrated that within our life itself, a nanotechnology, where we actually use crystals as a living source of light or energy that will amplify energy. So I'm saying this is what's left to the people who stay behind. But if you want to take a look at Star Wars and the Empire, the Galactic Empire, understand that that's where we're at. We can actually produce that machines, but incorporating physical cells. What you're saying
is no different than what Ross Hamilton was talking about with the, you know, and when the lanterns in the temple went out,
right?
You had this incredible energy, okay, that kept the temple lights lit forever, you know, through that period, and they lived within an hedonic existence, all right? But after that, for some reason, that civilization, the Edina civilization, developed, either they ascended, which, the entire group ascended.
Yes.
All right. And to their higher dimension, leaving those behind without the knowledge of how to keep the power within, you know. And that was what led to the downfall of their civilization.
But doesn't everybody have to make their journey?
Well, yeah, but you're hoping that like we. Others, like for instance, I'm hoping that if we ascend and others stay, then maybe there's 1,000 recorded shows that we've done on ascension and everything else. Okay, we'll remain on this earth, and maybe people will continue to, you know, check it out and say, oh, that's where they went to, you know what I mean? Or that's what they were talking about, you know, so that there's some history of this ascension process, or people talking about it, trying to
figure it out
and trying to trying to instruct or advise other people as to what it is. And that's what we're doing here right now tonight, you know, and of course this program will be in the archives and will stay there, you know, for as long as the LA Steel Show pays the rent, you know what I mean? So,
until the next solar flash, anyway.
What
you're talking about is the prime directive. Nobody has the right to turn away somebody else's reality. We all have the right to create our own reality, no matter how wrong it is.
That's right. That's right. We all do that, don't we? Yeah. But,
yeah, coincidentally, my sister-in-law, as a joke, she just sent me Shirley MacLaine's new book, and she talks a lot about ETs and aliens and some stuff in there. She's pretty far out sometimes, but she's right on the money sometimes. So
I was impressed with her first book there, Out on a Limb. You know, they did that movie on that as well, but I read the book, and she has been in that other dimension for a good part of her life. You know?
Yeah, I read that one as well, and I read the one that fell off the shelf and hit her in the head before she read it. But this new one she has written in her 60s, and it's called Saging While Aging or something like that. And she's not quite as preachy as she once was, but she's still a little strange.
Yeah, you could say that.
But, you know, I swear to God, I don't know anybody that I like that isn't strange. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't have an extraterrestrial somewhere hidden in their past. But, you know, that's how I feel. That, you know, people, people that are radical thinkers are people that just are willing to think, for God's sakes, and take on new ideas. Those are the people that I'm attracted to and have been all my life. And, you know, that's just the way it is. So I can't blame Shirley MacLaine for being a little loose on the, you know, because a lot of people have accused me of being the same way.
Oh, no, I love what she writes, and it's wonderful. It's just ironic that my sister-in-law gave me that book.
That's funny. But no, it's been great. I don't know if you got any more to talk about, guys, but we still got a few minutes left if you want. We're not streaming live right now. We're on recording.
Well, I just wanted to call up and comment. Every once in a while, I like to just add things like the distinction between manifestation and creation. That's one of the things I play with in my mind sometimes and try to convince myself that I'm learning something.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate your input, man. It's great. You've done a lot of studying on this, I can tell, and a lot of thinking about it. And,
well, I spent a lot of time alone trying to figure something out.
I enjoy just waking up in the morning, guys. And I tell you what, every day has character, and I love that. And you know, we haven't even hit the end of the hurricane season yet, and the East Coast here is being hammered, and it's a lot of fun to watch how things. Turn out right now, you know. It's it's only the beginning.
Yeah, it's something. Well, I'm going to let you guys go for this evening.
Yeah.
I've got other things to do, but it sure has been enjoyable talking to you tonight.
It's a pleasure talking to you, and I hope you call in again. You know, anytime. And
I will. And thank you for being there.
Thank you.
Adios.
Good
luck. Good
night.
Stay cool. Good night. And George, I want to thank you.
Okay, well, Andy, I appreciate it, but you know, I'm not in my normal seat tonight, but I enjoy talking with you. And
I don't know who this other guy was. He never the whoever 631909 never voiced tonight, but they've been on the air here. But we appreciate you calling and listening in.
Well, there you go.
Of course, George, always welcomed and always appreciated having you talk to us on Friday nights. And talk to you again real soon.
Okay, well, thanks for having me, Leo. And Lila, have a good night.
All right. She's already.
Okay.
good night,
Leo.
Good night, George. And I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. And we hope you had a good time. Good night.